May 5th, 2014. The purpose is to hear a presentation by the county clerk and Hart InterCivic on voting systems, demonstration of the system advantages, and cost savings to be considered in the 2014-2015 budget year. So at this time, I'll turn it over to Ms. Carolyn Guidry, our county clerk, and let you proceed how you desire.
Thank you, Judge, and good morning, Commissioners. Thank you. I wanted to have this workshop this morning prior to us getting together before budget to consider perhaps us changing our voting system. I want to set the background and the stage for these recommendations, which comes from a report from the Presidential Commission on Election Administration. Variations in administration does one size fit all. The diversity and decentralization of the U.S. election system cautions against nationwide rules, but all jurisdictions face some common challenges in registering voters, casting ballots, and counting votes. B, the issue of resources. Election needs are often the last to receive attention from state and local budgetary authorities, well behind public safety, education, and transportation. C, the technology challenge. A large share of the nation's voting machines are now almost a decade old and starting to break down. With no federal appropriations on the horizon, election authorities are on their own to do more with less. Jefferson County purchased ES&S system in October 2005. This system is now 9+ years old, and there has been only one upgrade to the system within that time frame. The closing process is very time consuming and difficult for our election workers. During the 2014 primary election, the Port Arthur Library early voting location was not closed properly and consequently delayed completion of tabulation by hours. During the 2014 primary election, the IVOs were not closed properly at the following election day locations: Theodore Johns Library, Municipal Airport, Jerry Ware Airport Terminal, Groves Elementary, Austin Middle School, and Port Arthur Recreation Center. Election employees were dispatched back to those locations after the polls were closed to retrieve the Ivotronics to close in order to complete tabulations. Most often, it is a nightmare to get someone to come back and unlock the locations to allow the election workers re-entry. With the HART system, these types of problems would be eliminated. As part of the original evaluation team, I saw merits of the HART system. I believe now, as the committee collectively did then, that HART would be the better system for Jefferson County. This exhibit comes from the agenda from the minutes from Commissioner's Court. Myself, Paul Halagda, and Patrick Swain served on that evaluation committee, and these were the scores. HART system is a digital system, whereas ES&S is an optical system. Jefferson County's print shop would be able to print ballots, which would be a cost savings and revenue generating for contracted elections. The closure process would be one step, eliminating delays in tabulation and return trips to closed polling locations. It would also reduce the amount of time to close the polls, thus reducing the paid time for 200 plus election workers by at least 1 hour. The city of Port Arthur currently uses the HART system for their elections. This means part of the county is already familiar with the e-slate voting. Jefferson County Election Department would like to keep moving forward now that we have the vote centers in place. Investing in the voting system, the HART voting system, would make voting easier and make closing the polls and tabulation faster. Representing HART InterCivic with us today is Mr. Kent Treatherway.
Good morning. Let me switch over to...
this year.
Ms. Guidry, while he's adjusting his technology there, would you ask a couple, answer a couple of questions for me, please?
Sure.
During the 2014 primary election in Port Arthur and also the other elections, there was, you indicated here that there was not closed properly?
That's correct.
What was the cause of that? Was it operator area, the equipment, or training, or lack
no,
of training,
it's just
or what?
The election workers, because it's an extended process, the way that you have to close the ESNS voting machine, each machine has to be closed down. And for some reason, like the early voting location, I can't tell you exactly what happened, but the early voting location at the Port Arthur Library, they failed to close down the machines. They closed down a couple of them. The rest of them were not closed. So that night when it came to tabulation, there were problems, and we got delayed from tabulation at least 2 to 3 hours that night. And you don't know those things until you get ready to do the tabulation, which is on Paul's job, MIS does.
Who is specifically designated as the person to be responsible for those closings?
Well, these are the election workers that are chosen by the parties.
But I mean, are they like the election judge? There's several different people there at each.
It's the election. It's the election judge and the workers that's
okay.
Responsible for those locations, sir.
And they have all. Previously been
they've
trained
all been trained they've all been trained and retrained,
and there's written instructions for them as well.
Yes, they
it.
Do but
okay.
They don't always go and pull those binders out as they should do, but I mean it's just human error that they did not do it.
So it wasn't the machines issue, it was the operator error, I guess.
It wasn't a machines issue, but it is a complex issue. It's just some systems are more complex to close than others, and I think if we simplify that process by a more simplified process, and it wouldn't be as hard as on our poll workers. You know, the average age of our election workers is like 70 years old, so it gets to be very difficult and tedious after a 12-hour day. Mm-hmm. So I think if we could simplify the process, certainly it would help.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Let me add one question to that, Carolyn.
Yes.
That is, are these the same workers that do every election?
Yes, they are.
Because we've been late every election.
Well, I can't say we've been late every election.
I can. I look at television.
Uh-huh.
And I look at the when the reports come in from here and look at
yes,
them compared
sir.
To other places. We're always late.
And that could be contributed to the system, sir. It's not the easiest system to open and close. Exactly.
Couple of questions. Obviously human error comes to mind. I mean, any operation you're going to have human error. It's just the way it is. But I don't recall, and maybe somebody can refresh my memory, I mean, these were purchased in 2005. I mean, there may have been a little delay, but nothing that was newsworthy other than in 2014. Would that be accurate?
No, not necessarily.
Our early voting numbers have always been behind almost all the other counties in this area, from my recollection. As far as the tabulation of those, it's very seldom we get those out before, you know, Jasper and Tyler counties,
right.
Some of the
well,
others.
We've had some good returns and we've had some bad returns. It just depends on what's going on and the poll workers. I mean, like I said, the average age of our poll workers is probably about between 65 and 70 years old.
So
sometimes the complexity of the system is a little bit different, depends on how big the election is. But
so
I think if we could simplify the process, certainly that would help in the tabulation process.
Right, and I guess it would depend on what it costs to simplify, but
exactly.
In 2005, when these were purchased, obviously there was a budget decision to go with ES&S. Could you explain, without going too much into the weeds, what's the difference between the closing process, just in summary, between the ES&S machine and this machine that we're looking at today?
Well, sir, and Mr. Treadway is going to go more into that, but with ES&S, you have to close down each machine, whereas with the HART system, there is a controller that will close down everything at one time rather than individually. And what happens a lot of times with the ES&S machines is that they may close down 6 out of the 7. Well, if they close down 6 out of the 7, then we have to go back and retrieve that other machine to, you know, whether the polls is closed or not. in order to close that machine down.
But again, it goes back to opening up the manual and following those procedures as you stated earlier.
Exactly. And the attention span of the poll workers at that time. I mean, 12, 13 hours is a long day for our poll workers.
Right. And you mentioned a printing shop could print ballots. Do they have the equipment to do this? And if, is there any cost associated? I mean, you know, after the fact, we're going to find out, well, we need this piece of equipment for the printing shop. I mean, is everything there?
Yeah, I think they could, because the difference is ES&S is an optical scan ballot, whereas digital is just zeros and ones. And the print shop did try to print the ES&S ballots, but they were not able to because it has a lot of specifications that's not zero and one, whereas the digital is zero and one, and it makes a big difference. So I think with the digital, that the print shop would be able to print the ballots versus the optical, they cannot.
Right.
Because it has so many depth, it has density and depth and all different things that's associated with a ballot print.
Right.
Whereas digital does not.
And my last question, I guess, is, you know, obviously you discovered there were some training issues in the procedure, so the machines didn't malfunction, it was just a following the protocol, right? Is that fair to say?
Yes, it's, yeah, the protocol is a little bit more extensive, I guess. Just following protocol, that's correct, sir. Printed ballots? Ooh. Teresa, I'm sorry, Teresa, do you have any idea how much we spent?
It depends on how many mail ballots we have. And now this year is the first year that we have the annual mail ballots application. That's why we have had over 2,000 mail ballots mailed out for this small election, because if they check that annual box, they get them for every election.
Right.
So we're just now seeing some of that. We also have to print some for
on site,
for provisional ballots, in case anyone, because this system, the ES&S system, does not allow a voter to vote provisionally on the touch screen. They have to vote a paper ballot on our current system. Then we have to have some for election day for emergency. If for some reason the equipment was not functional, voters still could still vote. So there's always probably about 5% of our expected turnout that we print in paper ballots for emergency and provisionals and mail ballots.
Carolyn, just for point of clarification, if I'm not totally wrong here, I think back in October of 2005, when we were pursuing this system, there was quite a disparity between the cost of ESS and HART for one issue. And somehow I remember something about the ballots, the printing of the ballots by our quote-unquote in-house printer was supposed to save us quite a bit of money, if I'm not wrong on this issue. And that was one of the reasons the court kind of went with that, if I'm not mistaken. And I'm not sure, did HART have that ability at that time to print paper ballots using our equipment and during that time we were doing the selection? I don't remember.
I think that we were kind of like misled, because our print shop thought that they could print the ballots and never could actually print the ballots to be read correctly.
But there was quite a bit of money to supposedly to be saved by us doing it in-house, if I'm not mistaken.
I think that was part of it,
but Carolyn, also we want to make sure that I let the court know also something else. We brought in several facets of our community, people that were blind, people that couldn't speak, different things. We had those individuals come out and test the equipment. If you remember, I don't know if he was here or not, but if you remember, Patrick, they were individuals that put input into the court, what was more user-friendly to them also. That was something that weighed heavy on the court decision because of some things of that nature. So I wanna make sure everybody get the whole picture of what happened and why we made the decision we made.
I'm printing ballots. Yeah, we've gotten a company now that's cheaper. They're like 17 cents a piece for a ballot. Of course, we always have excess ballots because you never know, you have to have them on hand.
Uh,
Yeah, they were. Yeah, we've changed vendors since then as far as the printing of the ballots go. Okay, may we proceed?
Yeah.
All right, thank you.
All right, good morning. I'm Ken Trethaway with Hart UnterCivic. I've been with Hart since 2005. Before that, I was working in the Travis County Elections Office, so I was working there when we implemented this system. I've trained a lot of poll workers on this system, and my first job at Hart was as a trainer. So in 2005 and 6, as we were implementing the system all over the country, I trained a lot of counties on how to use this. So I have some real world experience with it, as well as experience selling it. I brought with me a little extra firepower back here. Felice Liston is our director of sales for Hart in Texas. All right, so what I hope to get through today is a discussion of your current election situation, which we've already been discussing. You probably don't need too much introduction to Hart since we've been around a long time in Texas, so I won't spend a lot of time on that. We'll talk about the eSlate system that we're proposing for you and the value proposition that we can show you with a switch. So we've already touched on a lot of these issues. One of the first things that Ms. Guidry and Ms. Goodness told me about when we started talking was voters being concerned about their privacy with the current system. They mentioned that they have polling places where they hang curtains to try to increase the privacy that the voters feel. Also, the poll workers with your current system have to accompany every voter to the booth. And sometimes poll workers have a tendency to want to hover, and this infringes on the voters' privacy still more. You can see I have one of my privacy screens up on the voting machine. It provides a great deal of privacy when the voter is standing in front of the machine. I just have it folded on the other so you can see better. And also with our system, as we were discussing, it has a controller that controls all of the machines in the polling place up to 12. If you have more than 12, you would have two controllers. But in any case, the poll worker sits at the controller, monitors all the systems from there, does not need to accompany the voter to the booth. So the voter has a lot more privacy. We've been describing the complexity of closing the voting system that you have now. There are separate little electronic devices that have expensive batteries that have to be used to open the polls, and then another one to pull up a ballot style for a voter, and you have to go back to the first one to close polls. So there's some confusion around those, and occasionally those batteries die in the middle of a process, which causes even more confusion. And as we were talking about, the poll worker has to close each voting machine individually, and they have to affix an external printer to each one of the machines in order to do it. So it's a very complex process. Sometimes those printer connections get damaged in the process, and sometimes the poll workers, you know, get confused or forget to complete all of that process. The controller here has an onboard integrated printer, so that problem is eliminated. There's only one device that needs to be closed with this system, so that greatly speeds and simplifies the process. And it's a fail-safe solution in the sense that even if the poll worker forgets what they're supposed to do, as long as they bring this device in at the end of the night, which they're trained to do, and I don't know that you can see it, but there's a little white box over there, which is what they travel in. As long as the poll worker brings this device in at the end of the night, even if they've done none of their processes, it would be a matter of seconds for the county to close the polls on that device and complete tabulation. So all of those nightmares that we were discussing a while ago would be eliminated. We also talked about the fact that there's no provisional voting functionality on this system that you have. So those voters that do have to vote provisionally kind of feel like they're not really included in the main process, and that will go away as well. Now that you're with vote centers, there's a limitation on your current system on how many precincts it can support. And so the PEBs, the primary device that's meant to be used to consolidate reports for tabulation, can't be used in your situation. And so rather than doing that, the poll workers have to, or the county has to, extract the flash memory devices from every one of the machines and read all of those flash memory devices. With this system, there's only one flash memory device for each polling place that would need to be read. So that will greatly simplify that too. Your current system is a touchscreen, but it is a 12 or 15 year old touchscreen technology. It's three wire touchscreen technology, and those touchscreens require calibration very regularly. You've probably gone to the grocery store and signed your name on a signature capture pad when you're checking out, and you sign at one spot and you see your name maybe appear an inch above where you're actually touching the screen with your stylus. That's because that screen needs to be calibrated, and that's the technology that you have currently. When that happens, when a voter's, say, at a general election and means to touch Democratic for straight party voting, if that screen is out of calibration, it can read that touch an inch above and select the other party. And this is, you know, a nightmare situation that nobody wants to experience. So these e-slates that you're looking at today are not touchscreen. We decided that that risk was too great for a voting system. So it's a wheel and button interface. It can never mark a ballot in a way a voter does not intend. So there's no calibration ever required, and there's no possibility of vote flipping ever. We've already talked about the shutdown procedures, the external printers. So I'll just finish up on your Ivotronics. They are no longer manufactured, so if your population grows and you need to add more equipment, they're not made anymore, so you'll be forced to go with refurbished equipment, I guess. And the county has mentioned to me that the booths are breaking more frequently now that they're getting older. They're also heavy and difficult to set up. And we talked about the expensive batteries in the PEBs, but also the IVOs themselves have very expensive batteries. We also touched on the printing issue already, but one of the complaints that the county has about the current system is that they can't be completely independent with it. The two things that they cannot achieve independence with are the recording of the ballot audio for any other voters that are blind or have other reading challenges, and they can't print their own paper ballots. With our system, they'll be able to do both of those things independently. I mean, you also have to think about the fact that an election process is a very long, very complex process. And if you have particular milestones within that big process that you don't have control over, then that can really affect the entire process for you. So by eliminating those dependencies, those two things that have to be outsourced now, the county will be able to control the whole process from A to Z. I'm not going to go into any of my, bashing my competition, but it's also been made clear to me that relations with your current vendor haven't been the best, and so we're hoping to improve on that. And we also, I've noticed in talking to many counties around the state that the fees that you guys are paying are much higher than the fees you pay with Hardiner Civic. In Jefferson County's case, since they are such an independent county already and they do all their own programming, you're not getting as many of the really outrageous fees that I see in other counties that rely on their vendor more than Jefferson County does, but still across the board, we are a lower priced vendor. Okay, so you probably already know who HART is. We are a Texas born company. We've been in Austin for over 100 years now, doing business with county and local government. We talk about customer service literally every single day in our office. I can tell you that it is one of our primary focuses all the time. As a salesperson, it makes my job a lot easier working for a company with the kind of integrity that HART has, because I know that the representations that I make in the field are going to be backed up by the company that I work for. And just a note on stability, there used to be maybe five or six elections players when the HAVA money was out there, and there were a lot of companies that came around wanting to get a piece of that pie. A lot of those companies are not around anymore. But again, HART's been around for over 100 years, so you can rely on us to be there into the future with you. These are the states that we do business in currently besides Texas. Again, Texas is the core of our business. It's probably 70% of our business. It's where it's my whole focus, and it's a major focus of our company. We also won the last two statewide opportunities in the United States, so that speaks to our growth and our health as a company. And the two examples we are Oklahoma and Hawaii. And these are interesting examples in that Hawaii wants to be completely out of the process, basically, and wants HART to do everything, including training poll workers, warehousing, the whole process. We go out there, we run everything for them. And then Oklahoma, in contrast, wanted us to design a system specific for them, teach them how to use it, and walk away and have them be completely independent of us, which they now are. So Jefferson County would be kind of more in the latter camp, but I just wanted to point out that, you know, HART will help our customers at any point along that continuum of independence that they desire to be in. The HART voting system that I'm talking about today is used by about half of the counties in Texas, and ESNS has about the other half. I've got your neighbors listed there that are HART customers, your two contiguous neighbors, and also all of the Houston area counties are using this system that we're showing you today. And almost all of the vote center counties in the state use this system, mainly for the precinct and ballot style limitation that I've mentioned briefly.
Excuse me, let me interject a question real quick.
Uh-huh.
Since you're on that topic,
mm-hmm.
what counties recently have y'all taken over that were prior to that were with ESNS?
Yeah, well, since most of the counties refreshed in 05 and 06, it's been a while since we've, you know, since anybody's bought a new system. But last year for the general election, Karnes County, Texas moved from ESNS to HART for the first time. And this year for the primaries, Wood County, Texas moved from ESNS to HART for the first time. And this year I'm talking to five or six other counties that are thinking about the same thing that we're talking about today. So I think now that those systems that were bought with federal dollars in 2005 are as old as they are now, we're going to start seeing a lot more counties making the switch.
So I take it from who you've got listed up there that Orange and Jasper County are using ESNS.
Correct.
And they haven't had our issues of latent reporting that we've experienced.
I don't know. They probably don't have all the challenges that a county the size of Jefferson has as well. All right, so these are the components of the HART voting system. The JVC is really the key to understanding all of the value of making this switch. Again, it's one machine that provides remote access to a string of up to 12 devices. So the poll worker doesn't have to go with the voter. There's only one machine to close at the end of the day. They can read the status of any booth. If a voter happens to start walking toward the door, the poll worker can glance down at the booth light for that booth and make sure that they finished casting their ballot. If they haven't, they can say, excuse me, I don't think you finished casting your ballot, and prevent people from walking away where that ballot would have to be canceled. That remote control and remote consolidated closing and tabulating with the integrated printer is key to your operations benefits. The MBB device is the flash memory device that has to be tabulated at the end of the night. Again, there's only one per polling place, and it doesn't have any kind of battery associated with it, so it's a lot more reliable and less expensive. Of course, we have the accessibility features for the eSlate. And the DAO, the Disabled Access Unit eSlate, has won several awards in the disabled community for the accessible features that are very loved and respected in that community. That's called a mobile ballot box. It's the flash memory card. It's stored in a sealed slot in the JVC, and that's where the cast vote records are stored. It's one of the places. They're actually stored in three different places. The flash memory card, the MBB, is the primary place, and that's what's tabulated first on election night. But all of the cast vote records are also stored on the JBC itself, on its internal memory. In case that MBB has some kind of failure, you've still got all the data on the JBC that can be extracted with software. And each voting booth also stores a separate copy of each cast vote record. So you actually have three copies of every cast vote record so that you have double redundancy. So I'm not going to spend too much time on the next slides. I think we've already talked about a lot of these points, but I wanted to break it down in voter experience, poll worker experience, and county experience. Again, the poll workers are not going to have to walk each voter to the booth, so they're not going to get as tired. They're not going to be infringing on that voter's privacy. You're not going to require as many of them because they'll be able to stay at the table and process the next voter.
Can I ask a question right there?
Mm-hmm.
We have had to use, the voter poll worker has to go to the machine currently, put it in there, and you select your ballot style. Mm-hmm. But you're saying that with Hart, these machines are going to be programmed from the comptroller?
Yes, sir.
As to which precinct you're going to be in?
Yes, sir.
And that voting style will automatically come up on the machine without any interaction other than the console?
Yes. What happens is, once the voter is qualified in the poll book, then they proceed to the JBC operator. They'll have a slip from the poll book, I assume, that tells their ballot style, so their precinct and any split that might be associated with their address. So then the poll worker is going to push add voter and then push the button next to that precinct and split and then push print on this little machine. And then the printer is going to print a slip of paper with a 4-digit randomly generated access code. And then the voter can take that access code to any one of the 12 machines in the string that they choose, put that 4-digit access code in, and it'll bring up the ballot style that the poll worker entered.
And sir, are you saying this right here has the poll book in it, is what you're saying to us?
No.
What you're saying?
The poll book is separate. I think you have Votech as your poll book vendor. So they have an electronic poll book that they'll qualify the voters in first, and then they'll come to the voting system. We usually like to keep an air gap between those systems because in the poll book, of course, the voter has to have a name, but once they get to the voting system, they have to be anonymous. So they qualify to vote with their name, but once they come to the JBC, the only information that's entered in that device is what their precinct is, and they are an anonymous voter at that point. Yeah, that 4-digit number is just the means of getting the correct ballot style brought up on any of the 12 booths they choose. In no way, no. It's randomly generated. So again, no problem. I'm happy to field questions. We've already talked about all of these other issues. I just want to repeat, though, that if a voter needs to vote provisionally before the poll worker pushes print, after they've selected the precinct, they just push a button for provisional, and then they push print. And that way, the voter goes to the booth just like any other voter does. They vote just like any other voter does. But by pushing that provisional button first, the system knows to hold that vote out of the tabulation until the ballot board makes a decision on that particular vote. There's a 5-digit ballot retrieval code that's printed by this machine that goes into a sealed envelope with the voter's name on the outside of it, and that gets retained until the ballot board makes their decision. And if they decide, hey, John Smith's vote should count, then at the tabulation phase, or after the tabulation phase, whenever, you know, a couple days later when all these things are adjudicated, you go through all your envelopes, you pull out John Smith's, you open it, you get that 5-digit retrieval code, and in the tabulation software, you just tell it, I want to include that code. You don't see the votes, that voter's privacy is maintained, but those votes are automatically put into the main batch of the non-provisional votes. So for poll workers, there's no way they'll ever have to explain to a voter why the machine is reading their touches incorrectly. So that will give them, you know, more confidence, which is always communicated to the voter. Whenever I'm training poll workers, that's one of the points I always emphasize to them. You know, if you act nervous and you act like you don't have a lot of faith in what's happening, your voters are going to be nervous in turn. They're never going to be put in a position where they have to try to explain something on the machine to a voter. We talked about the status lights. Basically, those lights across the top, they're pretty small, but if you're sitting in front of the machine, you can see them. You have a green light if that machine is available for a voter. You have a red light if the ballot has been brought up by a voter. So again, if a voter turns around and starts to walk away, you glance down. If you still have a red light, you know they need to cast the ballot. If the voter has asked for help by pushing the help button inside the voting booth, then that light is going to be flashing red and green at you. So you can monitor the whole polling place from your seat. We talked about the consolidation of the results, which is going to speed up the closed polls process, the fact that the printer is built in. And I'll repeat the fail-safe point that I made earlier. If the poll worker, for whatever reason, does not close the polls, as long as they bring that device in, it's a simple matter of closing the polls once it gets into the central office. And when I worked at Travis County, I can tell you that happened, just like you're experiencing now when poll workers fail to fully complete all the closing processes. We had the same thing in Travis County. There were, you know, times when we had to just plug that machine in and close the polls. It took us a few seconds to do, and it's done. There was no having to go back to the polling place and try to get access to equipment. For the county, these devices are still being made even today. We have a production line running in Sugar Land, making more equipment for those new counties that have bought and are buying. We also have just sold a bunch of systems to several Houston area school districts that want to keep their elections in May and even numbered years, and the county's not supporting that anymore. So we're building these things even as we speak. We recommend coming out and touching your equipment only once every 3 years. And the only thing we touch is the JBC, the controller itself. It has a little lithium coin battery in it that needs to be changed every few years to keep the clocks running when those machines are off and on the shelf. And we charge about $60 a piece to do that. So that's a huge savings over the maintenance costs you're facing today. No calibration ever required. We just changed it. Was it 55? I think we went to.
I think it was 55.
I think that's right.
I think it's
55. We haven't mentioned the caddies yet. We have caddies that are basically the size and shape of a refrigerator. They have big casters on the bottom, and you can slide 8 of those voting machines into each one. And I have one closed up back there so you can see what it looks like when it's closed up. And that's how they're stored in your warehouse. So I think that's going to be a lot more convenient for you as well. And because the data ports are on the back and the way they slide into the caddies, when you're doing your warehouse operations, you can just spin that caddy around and access each machine without even taking it off the caddy and opening it up and back up the data, the voting data off the machine, and reset for your next election without even removing them from the caddies. So your warehouse operations are going to be much lighter and more convenient than you're used to. We don't talk much about that, but you'll be amazed.
What about recharging the batteries?
They do not have rechargeable batteries, so you won't have any rechargeable regimens to follow. They have disposable battery packs, but we have counties that are still using their original batteries from 2005. So it depends on how you maintain those and how often they get used, and how often your poll workers forget to plug into AC power. Because the batteries only get deployed, of course, if the AC power is not available. Also, for the county, you'll be able to print your ballots, as we've discussed. I can't imagine any reason why you won't be able to print them yourself with the equipment that you have now. You'll be able to record your own ballot audio. Your mail ballots, basically, our system, as Ms. Guidry mentioned, is a digital system. So when you scan your mail ballots, an image of every side of every ballot is captured. So then if there are any marginal marks on those ballots, if a voter marked one place and then tried to scratch it out and marked in another place, or if they circled the boxes instead of filling them in, any of those things, or if there are write-in candidates, in any of those cases where, with your current system, human eyes would need to go over physical pieces of paper to make a determination about what that voter's intent was. With our system, you simply, it outstacks into a separate data folder any ballots that have marginal marks or write-ins, and you click through images on a screen, and the ballot board can make it a judgment. You know, just looking up at a screen, they can all say, yes, the voter intended to vote for John Smith, and you make a click of the mouse, and it fixes it. So your mail ballot process is going to be a lot more simpler and faster, too.
Let me interject one more question. Obviously, you're telling us a lot of good things. Mm-hmm. How long has this system been in place?
Harris County purchased in 2002, I think, was our first.
The same type software, nothing's evolved. I mean, it's pretty much the same.
Yeah, we've been through many revisions since mm-hmm. then. It's currently on version 6.2.1, and I think Harris County probably bought version 3.0 or something like that.
So there's software updates for the machine.
There have been. We don't have any plans to go beyond 6.2.1, and all of our customers all over the country have now been updated to 6.2.1.
So while I'm on that train of thought, Ms. Guidry, for the ES&S equipment that we currently have, there is no such thing as a software update to get us to where we are here to shut everything down? Do they make anything that's equivalent to that? I'd be remiss if I didn't ask that question.
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. And then, so what other kind of problems have occurred with this? Have you had any problems, I mean, with this setup?
No, not really. I mean, it's really a foolproof, fail-safe system. I mean, you may remember when Harris County's voting system burned in 2010, mm-hmm. They turned around and bought the same system all over again. They were completely satisfied with it. And they had been tracking equipment failure rates over the years to try and see, you know, if there was any increase in failures over time. And they couldn't even determine any increase in failure rates over time. So we haven't found the, you know, the end point of the system yet. It's kind of tough on a sales guy when your system just runs forever, but it's the system we've got.
When that burned in Houston and Harris County, wasn't there an area in Harris County that was on ES&S? Because we sent them some equipment, didn't we, Carolyn?
No, we loaned them some just generic boots.
Oh, generic boots.
Yeah,
okay.
Just a generic voting booth, like for
I
paper ballots.
I remember we transferred or sent some
right,
equipment
that was
over
the,
there.
That was like for paper ballots. They were just generic boots.
I was just wondering because I didn't think they were compatible with each other.
No.
I
didn't
remember us being asked or we loaned them some equipment.
We did.
There was some fear at the time of the fire since it was only 5 weeks before the election and it was an even year big election. There was a lot of concern that we might not be able to fire up the lines and build them 10,000 more machines in time in 5 weeks. And so the contingency plan was to have paper ballots available and scan those digitally like I was just describing. And so counties like Jefferson, I guess, helped support them for that contingency plan. But in the end, we were able to work some long hours and get them good to go where they didn't have to use any paper ballots at all. But we just wanted to be prepared for that. So the value proposition for you, your system is old and no longer made. So it's going to have to be replaced sometime soon. You've got a presidential election coming up in 2016, which I don't think I would want to go through a big election year cycle with what you've got now. So I'm assuming that this refresh is going to happen before then, and you probably won't want to do it during an election year either. So I think 2015 really makes the most sense for you for considering your implementation of your refresh. We've described how this is going to be better for your voters and your poll workers and for your elections office. You're going to have a different experience with your vendor than you're used to, I can promise you that. And we're going to save you some money. So these are your annual fees. In 2013, you're up to about $68,000 a year. The proposal we've given you today, that's going to go down by about $10,000. And it's going to be locked for 5 years. And at the end of that 5 years, It will go up one time 4%, and then if you decide you want to lock it again at that rate, we'll lock it again. So we're going to control your annual fees expenses. These are some numbers on the audio recording that the county spent in 2012. All of that's going to go away. You'll be able to do your own recording, assuming you have some Spanish voice talent you can tap into. You'll be able to do that in-house. There's a ballot printing figure that I was given earlier this year. I think that's about a month old, so that may have gone up by now. But at the time, you had spent almost $10,000 on paper ballots this year. And once you have your new system, you'll be able to just buy ballot stock and toner and do that yourself.
Patrick, what was our cost on the ESS system in 2005? Do you recall?
Not specifically. We
had a federal grant. Okay. All right, I'm almost done. Preventive maintenance, ESS wants to come out and change the batteries in their machines, just like we want to come out and change the batteries in ours. Again, we only do that every 3 years. They charged you $39,000 to do it, and our cost for the current system you have now would be $38.50. There's some numbers there for the consumables that you're paying now. The batteries for your voting machines are $95. Ours are $30, and those flash memory cards are a little more expensive also. So this is a 10-year TCO comparison. I just looked at the amount of money spent with ESNS in total per calendar year and the amount that it's gone up from 12 to 13 and from 13 to 14, and just made a projection from there that it's going to keep going up like that. And then the numbers you see in red, those are the years when you would need another one of those preventative maintenances. So if you were to do nothing at all and just continue with what you have now for 10 more years, which I would argue is not going to be possible, but even if it were possible, you're looking at spending about $2 million over the next 10 years just doing what you're doing now. If you were to throw a refresh of the system into that timeline, I don't know what you would pay ESNS to do it. I put a number in there, which is the undiscounted value of the deal we're offering you. I don't know what ESNS would offer you, to be honest. But whatever the number is, it's going to increase your bottom line, you know, correspondingly, of course. So this is just a number that we can look at for examples' sake. And then the proposal we're offering you is a 5-year payment plan, after which time your expenses are going to go way down because of HART's lower costs. And so your bottom line in 10 years with the new purchase is about $2.3 million. So basically, you're talking about refreshing your voting system for a net cost of about $250,000 over 10 years. And that's all I have to talk about. I have the system here, and it's set up. So if anybody wants to come and actually get your hands on it and experience it, that's what it's here for. The warranty is 3 years new, with the option of increasing it, extending it year by year if you were to choose to. Our warranty cost is $60 per JBC and eSlate per year, and $70 per disabled access unit, the one with the audio capability, per year.
And it,
if you're, I doubt there's much of a market for it. I doubt that there's much of a market for it. I think the market is about to be flooded with this equipment from from that wave. I haven't seen my other counties have much luck selling it, but you could try.
Overseas.
We had a Texas state contract back in 05, and the state offered, agreed to extend that for a few years thereafter. They did not renew that buying contract after about 2009, I think. So no, there's not currently a state contract for buying this. No, ma'am. But I mean, in reality, since you are a vote center county in the state of Texas, you're required to use a DRE, and the eSlate that I'm showing you today and the iVotronic that you already have and is no longer made are the only two DREs on the market now. So you really don't have eSlates? No. We're the sole source.
For clarification, when you say refresh, what are you talking about? I mean, I know you're talking about
replace.
Software update, because you said refresh on ESNS.
No,
did
I just mean.
Or did I miss?
I just mean get your next system.
Okay.
That you're going to have to replace what you have now with something. We're proposing you do it with the Hart voting system. If you bought something else, to refresh what you have now in some other way. But I honestly don't know what you would do since you're a vote center. I don't know what options you would have.
Let me ask a question, please. Ms. Gidry?
Yes.
Did y'all get with purchasing before we set this up? You know, make sure we cleared all options, potential obstacles. Did y'all meet with
purchasing to do what? To have a workshop?
Yeah.
No, I didn't know. I need to get with purchasing to have a workshop to look at options for a system.
I have a couple of questions. I noticed there's only one cable from this last machine over to the JVC. Is it daisy chain from one to the other?
Yes,
electronically
sir.
Connected, or is it wireless?
No, it's not wireless. We don't want there to be any means of communicating with
that
any of these devices. And I have several more feet of cable that's coiled up in the back. Everything's kind of bunched together here because of our space limitations, but in a polling place you could have quite a bit of distance between those two booths and quite a bit of distance between the JBC and the first booth.
Is that wiring included in the price of the unit, or is it separate cost?
No, it's included.
And you have, how many feet do you get with each one?
I believe that JBC cable is 12 or 15 feet, and then I think there's 9 feet between each booth.
So they don't all independently connect back to the JVC.
No.
They're, like I said, daisy chain from
yes,
each
sir.
One of them. Yeah. And the remote JVC instrument, is it wireless in any way to
no,
remote
sir.
Data?
No, sir.
Report data, or is it strictly the...
No. In cases like Hawaii, where we need to transmit results across islands, we pull those MBBs out, read them into a piece of software, and then transmit them over a network separate from the voting system. The voting system itself has no transmission capabilities in either direction.
Okay. So there's no way somebody could come in and tamper with the
no,
results
sir.
And individual machines?
No, sir.
Yeah. Judge, I do want to add that Port Arthur, you know, have their own voting system. And they are on the eSlate, so part of our county is already voting on the eSlates at this time.
Well, I can see where after 9 years, 9 years ago, they didn't have a voice recognition software on iPhone.
Right.
Again, the voter would qualify in the poll book, and they would have a slip of paper with their ballot style information on it. But if it's a general primary, it's not a part of it. the poll worker would just push add voter. In this case, this is set up for a precinct that only has one choice. In your case, it would be all of your precincts available. Yes, that's correct. I would just hand this to the voter and then put the one to. And they can put this number in their pocket, either
Judge, one other thing is, Judge and Court, one other thing is that because these are actually voter activated, then we're not going to require as many poll workers in the place as well. So that's going to cut down as well on the expenses as far as hiring poll workers, which are getting harder and harder to get anyway. So it's going to cut down the expense on that side as well. And right now, when we have a fleeing voter, what we call a fleeing voter, we have no way of knowing that they have not cast that ballot when they leave the booth until a poll worker goes by to see. And then sometimes it's too late to get them back in the booth to cast their ballot, and we have no choice other than to spoil that ballot and cancel it for them. So that's one of the good features about this system.
I'm just throwing this out, you know.
How do we get around not being able to borrow money?
You put a, put it in the lease agreement.
What about leasing it? What about leasing it where you still own it and we don't? So that in 10 years from now, well, we're spending another $2 million to replace what was the latest and the greatest.
That's certainly an option. That's, we have that lease contract with the state of Hawaii right now.
I think that's worth looking at, and it'd be the court's pleasure. But as I'm hearing all this, you know, you got these older machines that are 10 years old, you know, and now we're looking at another system. Who's to say 10 years from now you're not going to be back in here saying, guess what? It's obsolete. Now they got little men talking to you through the machine. I mean, I'm just throwing that out.
Yeah, well, even under a lease agreement, though, typically if your a lot of your equipment becomes antiquated or manufactured discontinued in order to upgrade, you're still going to have at least a one-time charge to get the newer, more updated equipment. So there is a counterbalance there. So
yeah, I mean, there'll be a cost on lease. I know that.
But it should be cheaper.
It should be cheaper than buying it. And then we don't own the problem. You know, when it comes time to refresh, you know, then we're just getting new equipment in. And I don't know. I'm just throwing that out.
And you did indicate earlier that it's kind of almost a 50-50 from between the counties and the 254 counties in the state. It's almost equal 50-50. How many of those with HART are in the 100-plus thousand population category, roughly? There's about 37 counties in the state that exceed 100,000. It's in Dallas and Tarrant and Bayer and some of those big counties, so I was just curious. Tarrant County? Harris County, okay. So it's a good mixture of large and small. Montgomery County?
The reason why I asked that question earlier about who did you recently take over with on an ESS machine is so that, you know, whether it be Ms. Guidry or Ms. Clark or whoever, talk to those people and say, oh yeah, this is what we experienced. It was good. This is what it helped. Or, you know, hopefully it's not the other way around for you, but you know what I'm saying?
Are there any party representatives here that would like to come up and check this out, or have y'all already had opportunity to review the information? Any comments? Billy, you might want to go to the mic and identify yourself, please, for the record.
I'm Billy Oliver. I'm the Republican County Chairman. I'm not clear on the technology date of this equipment. Is this for 2005 vintage gear that's that you've managed to upgrade through the past 10 years?
It is the same vintage as we have. The most time react to the hover requirement. But as I mentioned before, we chose not to go with not very reliable and required a lot of calibration at those days. This system, turn the wheel and highlight your choice, in no way can read it in any other way. We chose a better technology for the time. We've done several upgrades to it over the time.
And what do you think the life is of this? I mean, if it'll be 20 years old in 10 years, what do you guys see?
It's difficult to speculate. It hasn't been out there long enough to start failing. So we don't have to guess on this. We haven't done any signs of doing it.
That's all.
Well, with this system, we don't really have to print paper mail. Huh?
Just for your mail.
Just for the mail belt. Printing about.
About 2,000 for these current elections.
Deb, I heard you ask about, or I heard mention single source because of the slate, but I don't think this qualifies, does it? So we'd have to go out for a bid process, RFP. Okay.